matter what people say. Yeah. We got it going on. Yeah. Who cares about what we did?
You know me. I'm the hottest in the
game. WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs. To social issues that cripple the black community. All from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So again, welcome back, everyone, for another episode. It is the last Sunday in the month of March, and Women's History Month is coming to a close. I hope you guys enjoyed the various posts on Black Ivy Media showcasing not just historical women figures, but highlighting and featuring local women, everyday women who are killing it in the game. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to last Tuesday's Black Ivy Media panel discussion on Black maternal health. We had an amazing group of panelists, Dr. Linda Burke, OBGYN, Tamar Innocent, women's health coach and full spectrum doula, and Shawnee Benton Gibson, who is a Black maternal health advocate and clinician. It was such an empowering conversation. For those of you who missed it, don't worry. The full panel discussion is available on the Black Ivy Media YouTube page. You can find it there. Watch it, share it with your friends, to the point where people are asking for a part two. Like, it was just so powerful. So definitely tune into that. And thank you all who participated in the event. So today we have an amazing guest by the name of Shayla Alseed. She's actually my cousin, and she's going to be talking about cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency is the new wave. We are hearing so much more about it. I know at one point people were thinking, oh man, this is a scam, I don't want to get involved. But if you guys are keeping your eyes and ears open, you are seeing that institutions like Goldman Sachs, companies like Tesla are buying up Bitcoin and are buying up other forms of cryptocurrency. Starbucks, as we speak, is accepting Bitcoin as payment, right? So this is no longer an idea. This is real life. And we as Black people especially, we need to stop taking that wait and see approach. And we need to start jumping into these things as they are developing. Obviously, we have to do our due diligence. We have to do our research. But I would say for me personally, since the pandemic has started, I have been on this financial freedom journey. I've not been perfect in it, but I am on this journey, and I see with my own eyes how people are making money in these streets, in these stock streets, in these cryptocurrency streets. And I refuse to be that person a year later, 5 years later, like, man, I did hear about it, but I was too scared to take the risk to join in. So you want to definitely tune into today's conversation, because we are going to talk about the different ways you can get involved in cryptocurrency. People think that you have to invest thousands of dollars. You can start off with 50. You can start off with 30. And so neither Shayla or I are financial advisors. Those of you who know me personally know that I could barely do 1 + 1. But we are everyday Black women who are on a journey to building generational wealth. And we are using these tools to our advantage. And Shayla's been doing this for a little while now. And she has put the family on. And she is about letting people know that we need to get involved in this. So definitely tune in to hear her story as to how she got into cryptocurrency. And we're going to talk about where some of these, you know, scam rumors are coming from, and what people need to really be doing before just jumping into this world. So you definitely want to keep it locked for that. But before we get into the meat of the show, you know, we have our preliminaries. And right now it is time for our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Fleek,
and it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is anti-dentite. Now, for those of you who are Seinfeld fans, like I am, you know anti-dentite. If you don't know anti-dentite, then you are not a true Seinfeld fan. But anti-dentite is someone who doesn't like dentists. Example, Kramer, those people listen to yourself. Jerry, what? Kramer, you think that dentists are so different from me and you? They came to this country just like everybody else in search of a dream. Jerry, Kramer, he's just a dentist. Kramer says, yeah, and you're an anti-dentite. Jerry then replies, I am not an anti-dentite. Kramer then says, you're a rabid anti-dentite. Oh, it starts with a few jokes and some slurs. Hey, denty, next thing you know, you're saying that they should have their own schools. Jerry then says, they do have their own schools. So again, if you're not into the dry humor of Seinfeld, you might not find that funny. But I remember this episode like it was yesterday. But apparently, anti-dentite is something that has made the Urban Dictionary. And I feel like people are not really using it in terms of something serious. But again, I think you have to be part of that Seinfeld community to really appreciate it and to actually use it. I'm pretty sure people use anti-dentite, but you have to be a Seinfeld fan to do. So that is the word of the week. So it is now time for the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. So this week's Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week is my name is Mwe Rele. My name is, in Creole, is moi, my, really, name is. Or you can also say, nom se. My name is, nom se. So again, my name is, in Haitian Creole, can be said in two ways. The first being, moi, really. The second way, nom se. So we are on to one of my favorite sections of this show. It is now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. What? So this week's big up of the week goes to CBS, the channel, right? And for those of you who are avid According to RP listeners, you will know that a couple of weeks ago, my womp womp of the week was Sharon Osbourne, who is a host on The Talk. So this week, Sharon Osbourne is back in the news because she is no longer a host on the talk show, The Talk. So to backtrack a little bit, the reason that Sharon Osbourne was the womp womp of the week was because she came to the fierce defense of Piers Morgan, who is a British journalist who was speaking ill on Meghan Markle. But it's not just the fact that she was defending Piers Morgan. It's the way that she verbally attacked her co-host, Cheryl Underwood. From that situation, people started coming out and speaking out against Cheryl Osbourne, talking about their racist experiences with Cheryl Osbourne. So Holly Robinson-Pete, who is an American actress, she came out and stated that Cheryl Osbourne had actually made negative remarks against her, calling her ghetto. And that was a reason why I believe Holly Robinson-Pete was not selected to be part of, you know, the talk show. She had interviewed for it or auditioned for it, but apparently she was considered ghetto. Sharon Osbourne called her ghetto and that she was too ghetto for the show. And so that's one of the reasons why she didn't make the cut. But even through that, there were other individuals who came forward that stated that Cheryl Osbourne has made racist Asian remarks. there were others who came forward to say that she has made, you know, remarks against LGBTQ members. So it's all unraveling for Sharon Osbourne. And so CBS was like, we're not doing this anymore. They don't want the smoke. And so even though in some reports it'll say that she permanently stepped away and that she resigned, we all know that she got the boot. So much so, she apparently is going to be suing CBS, I guess, for wrongful termination or whatever the case is, which goes to show that she didn't walk away. If she's going to be suing them, it goes to show that she was terminated and she was canned. So I commend CBS for this. Now, is there a chance that they might strike some sort of deal in the aftermath or whatever? Quite possibly. I've seen many people comment that what's happening to Sharon Osbourne isn't fair because Nick Cannon, who was terminated or let go from, I think it was it Viacom CBS, based on his alleged anti-Semitic statements, that he got his show back. And, you know, why is Sharon not going to be afforded the same? I mean, I don't think that we're talking about the same thing here. I think that we're talking about apples and potatoes. I don't even think that it's apples and oranges, but that's just my personal opinion. I mean, at the end of the day, Sharon Osbourne did what she did. Some might find that it, you know, the termination was a bit harsh, but at the end of the day, you know, I believe that she was being racist. I believe that these individuals who are coming forward with respect to the racial slurs, not just for Blacks, but for the people of the Asian community and LGBTQ community, I believe that those have merit. And CBS didn't want no smoke. So they, you know, they terminated her. And I think rightfully so. I think that there has to be a check. I am all for journalistic integrity. I'm all for, you know, journalists being able to express themselves and to be able to report things how they see it. But I think that this exchange that Sharon had on the show, especially with Cheryl Underwood, was unwarranted. And I think that the allegations coming out against her are also quite damning. And I don't think CBS really wants to be associated with any of that. So I do commend CBS for taking a stand. Again, will things maybe get reversed? I don't know. But I think that it's important for these news outlets to step up and to say we're not going to tolerate, you know, hate speech. So there's that. So now with every high, you guys know that there is a low. And this week's low, this week's womp womp of the week goes to none other than the narcissistic being that goes by the name of Derek Jackson. So Derek Jackson has made headlines. Everybody has been talking about Derek Jackson all week. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, I don't know what rock you're living under. So Derek Jackson is a self-proclaimed relationship guru, relationship expert, and many women have been taking his advice over the course of, I don't know, a few years. He gives relationship advice to women, encouraging them to drop their zeros and get themselves a hero. And if you ask men in the community, they will say that Derek Jackson is the reason for their failed relationships. Now, the ironic part is that with all of this advice that Derek Jackson has given to women, empowering them to leave their cheating ass men behind, he himself is a cheating ass man. In fact, a woman by the name of Candace, who I believe was, I guess, one of his mistresses, because I'm hearing reports that there were several other women, have come forward to say that she was in a sexual relationship with Derek Jackson. I'm also hearing that Derek has brought this woman to his Atlanta home, and she has taken selfies in the bed that he shares with his wife. Now, if that's not trifling, I don't know what is. It's one thing to be cheating on the side and to be sleeping with your mistress or side chick at a hotel, motel, Holiday Inn, or at her house in the backseat of a car or something. But to bring the infidelity to your home where you share with your children and your wife, and to bring the side piece into the bed that you share with your wife, that to me is beyond trifling, right? And so here is a man who had placed himself on a pedestal, made himself out to be the Messiah, in a sense, the guru of relationships, self-proclaimed relationship expert, telling women to drop their men. If the man is cheating with you, you don't need to be with them. Making women feel guilty even for even thinking about being with a man that has cheated with them, you know, on them. And here he is, a sinner himself. Now, all men fall short of the glory of God, right? We are not all perfect. A man will rise, he'll fall. A woman will rise, she will fall, right? It happens. I'm not condoning it. I do not like cheating. I don't subscribe to cheating, but it happens. But I think where people have the issue with him, particularly the men, because he's dogged men out on his platforms, right? He has dogged men out. And now men are looking at him like, oh, really? You were had so much to say about how we do, how men are, that these women need to not even give us a second look. They need to leave. And look at you. The Messiah has fallen. You, Derek Jackson, are the men that you preach about, right? And I think what made it even more interesting was the video that he made with his wife. First of all, the wife looked like she was not about that life. She was not about this situation. She was not ready to be on camera to discuss the infidelities of her husband. I mean, that was indicative by the bonnet that was on her head. But it was more so indicative by her body language, right? But then I think what was even more disturbing, and which is why we believe now that Derek Jackson is in fact a wholehearted narcissist, is the subsequent video that he made of himself sitting in his car, speaking about himself in the third person and commenting on the video that he made with his wife as if he was a spectator. If this is not classic narcissism, I don't know what is. And I am somebody who has unfortunately dated narcissists. And I have taken myself to a point where I had to do research. I have several books on narcissism. I have read through the PhD papers because I needed to understand what the characteristics of a narcissist was and why the hell I was attracting them. But we're not talking about me. If Derek Jackson did not make himself out to be the perfect of the perfect, if he did not put himself on a pedestal and act like he was the Messiah of relationships, we would have digested this better, right? Again, we all understand that we are not perfect. And even though he is dropping gems, because the things that he was saying was not wrong. He was empowering women to leave fruitless relationships, right? But it's the way that he made himself better than the men that he was speaking against, right? I think that is why people are relishing at this fall to grace, because of how he made himself out to be better than. If he had just accepted his position as just a regular person who just had this particular expertise or this knowledge and was trying to, you know, empower women while acknowledging that he is imperfect himself, I don't think the men would be having such a field day with all of this right now. But he did not. He came out as if he was Jesus himself. He came out as if he would never, ever, ever, ever cheat on anybody, and that this lifestyle is not of God, and that he was just so perfect. When all in all, this man has been slipping and sliding, dipping and diving, cheating. We don't even know how many women. I'm sure there will be more women coming out in the course of the next couple of weeks, embarrassing his wife on social media this situation was not even about her, right? It was about him. He didn't need to drag her into this mess. I am sure she is embarrassed beyond. I am sure that all of these little antics we see of her coming out on social media, talking about her bonnet is the helmet, and her, her army fatigue is the breastplate, and all this other craziness that's going on with her. I think that's just her reaction to everything that's going on right now. Because if I don't know how she's doing it, I don't know how she did it, to be honest. But either way, he's the womp womp of the week. People, we're not perfect, right? We're going to fall. We're going to rise. We're going to fall. We're going to do all this stuff. But hypocrisy does not suit anyone. Let's just live our lives, right? And if we make mistakes, let's own up to the mistakes, but let's not be hypocrites, okay? We're now on to the meat of the show. I'm here with my very special guest, Shayla Alcide. Shayla, say hello.
Hello, everyone.
So for those of you who do not know, Shayla and I are related.
Yes.
She is my cousin.
Yay.
I feel like everybody's like, how many relatives do you actually have, Rita? This is crazy. Everybody's your cousin.
It's a big family. It's a big family. Sorry if you're not part of it.
You know what I mean? You can watch from the sidelines.
Yes.
So Shayla, today we are going to talk about cryptocurrency, but I know you because you're my relative, but there are a lot of people who don't know who you are. So please let the people know who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
Okay. My name is Shayla. So I am, you know, from the United States. I was born here. I currently work in the corporate field. I actually work for a finance company. So, and I've been doing that for over 20 years. Ooh, yes, man, sounds so old. But yes, that's basically what it is. And recently, well, not recent, but maybe in the last 3 years, I started to dabble into the crypto world, the Forex exchange world. And I've been loving it since.
All right. And I remember when you started because we were having conversations around it. But for whatever reason, you know, I was always into like stocks, but not heavy. But mm-hmm. the crypto thing, like I would hear about Bitcoin. I mean, that's the only coin I actually had heard mm-hmm. about. But I remember there was just so many conversations about, is it real? Is it not real? And so I kind of just was like, all right, I'm hearing about it, but never dabbled into it. But it wasn't until recently that I started getting into this crypto thing as I became heavier in the stocks. And I'm like, man, Shay has been talking about crypto for so many years now. If we had only listened to her, we would be eating right. So
yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like a hard thing to explain to people because it's still very, very new. And it's still a bit confusing to a lot of people. I know when I got in it, I was confused too. And I would have people in my ear, family members, who would tell me, what are you doing? It's a scam. You know, people used it to steal purses. I didn't understand what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. But I am the type of person that I like to know things. I don't take people's opinion and then run with it and not try to discover it myself. So I started off with Forex, which is the foreign exchange, which is, you know, trading money with that way, which and the company that I joined to learn about this also involved cryptocurrency. And even then, when I first started, I was afraid of crypto. I was like, I don't know what it is, this digital asset. I don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I kind of stayed away from it for a little while. But even my mentor, who was doing cryptocurrency, I still didn't pay attention. So I get it when people are afraid to, you know, dive into something that is new to them, because I did it initially in the beginning too, because I was like, I don't know. I'm a fiat, which is, you know, cash. I'm a mm-hmm. cash person. I know how that works. I've been here for many, 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 many years. But this new thing, I'm afraid. And something clicked in me, was like, you might want to look into this. What's going to do? It won't hurt you to learn about it. Mm-hmm. So that's when I got curious about cryptocurrency, and I'm glad I did.
So now what exactly is cryptocurrency?
So cryptocurrency is actually a digital asset. So, and it's what it is the difference between having the digital asset and having fiat is that the digital asset is encrypted, it's decentralized. So the US dollar is not, the government is not monitoring it. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of gives you the freedom of doing whatever you want to do with it. And I think that's where people get confused and they start to think that, you know, you'll hear people say that, oh, you can drug dealers use cryptocurrency and so on and so forth. And that's not why it's decentralized. It's just that the bank can't have control of your money. Because even if you go and deposit a check, it's your check. Even if you write a check to yourself, the bank will hold it, trade it, and mm-hmm. then tell you when they want to release it to you. So when you have digital asset, it's yours. You own it. No one can tell you what to do with it. You can transfer it however you want to whomever you want without the fees attached so much to it. So say like if you needed to send Bitcoin or Bitcoin, if I needed, say you were in Switzerland and I needed to send you some Bitcoin and so on and forth, it'd be a matter of seconds. Mm-hmm. Not like that old transfer takes a day, 2 days for them to figure out where it's going and so on, because they use this blockchain technology. And this blockchain technology too is also being used with so many other different things. But it's currently with with cryptocurrency that they're using it. So it's gonna be the new thing. So it's either you get involved in the beginning or you sit on the sidelines. Like, remember when internet and everybody was like, suck internet, like what's internet? Like, you know, and not knowing and had, you know, you know, someone who's been involved, who got involved in the internet very early, are very rich people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Yeah. So essentially cryptocurrency is currency. Like you yes. can exchange it like money. And from what I'm hearing, I've been doing some research that a lot of companies are now accepting cryptocurrency as forms of payment, right?
Absolutely. Like Starbucks accepts cryptocurrency. So and that's just the one off the top of my head that I can remember. So yes, it's going to be the new way of exchanging funds or paying for certain things. And there's a lot of companies on the back end that no one knows. And it's with the altcoins. Like, okay, so like, for example, Bitcoin is the big mama jama of cryptocurrency. Everybody knows about Bitcoin. And every other coin outside of Bitcoin is called altcoins, the alternative coins. Mm-hmm. So like other big companies are getting involved in altcoins and using them. So, but they haven't come out yet because, you know, but if you go and if you, like say for Ethereum, for example, if you go and you look at the white papers, which tells you a bit about what the coin is being involved in, some of the people who are involved in that project, you will see some of these major companies, major corporations that are involved in cryptocurrency. We have to do our homework to get involved to see that they're there. They're not screaming it from the rooftop because one, they want to get involved before you get involved so that they can get from the bottom. And then now they'll let the masses know, those who wanted to sit on the sidelines, you know. But there's another coin. I like to think it's VeChain, but it's like BMW is involved with VeChain. There's other coins that the NFL is involved with. So the world is starting to, get a hold of cryptocurrency, but the corporations are getting ahead of us because one, they're going to drop big bucks in there, of course, but we have an opportunity to get in too at the very beginning and then go on and get some wealth. I don't see why I don't see why we're afraid of that.
Yeah. But you know what? We have a very interesting relationship with investing, right? I think a lot of us, our parents were just like, oh, don't go gambling, or they didn't trust, you know, I guess they didn't trust the American system as much, as much as they came here for, I guess, the dream, but they still didn't trust the American system. And part of the system is, you know, investments and banking, which is why a lot of our grandmothers still had money under the mattress and not in the bank, right? So I think a lot of that has something to do with it, but I'm glad that we're touching on the point of big banks, large financial organizations are investing. I think Goldman Sachs, I know Tesla, like they've bought billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. And it's like, once you, there's this YouTuber that I follow, and he's like, once you see that these institutions are pouring money into Bitcoin, it's like, if you don't jump in at this second, like you really will miss the boat.
Because, you will miss the boat. Yes. It's absolutely game-changing opportunities right now, because like you see Bitcoin is at currently, I haven't checked it this morning, but
it's 50, is it between 56 and 59? I know. Oh, I checked it this morning. Yeah.
Okay. So,
and this is K, 56, 59,000 people.
$1,000. Yes. Yes. So, Bitcoin, when it first started, you know, was at a penny, you know, so, yes, penny at 56, was at a penny. So imagine if you bought a few, like there's a coin, I'm not going to put it out there, I'm gonna save it.
Text me on myself. Text me on the side.
But there's a particular coin that I personally bought, and it was less than a penny. When I bought it at less than a penny, this was last week, so this is fairly new, new information. And I bought quite a few. At less than a penny, you can, you know, if you put $200, $300, you're getting quite a few coins. And within 3 hours, I was up 18%. And it was, and the coin is not, has not even dropped on the exchange yet. So it's fairly new. It's supposed to be dropping down on the exchanges within, I think, in a few days. And if it goes to a dollar, if it goes to $30, it's a game changer for my life. I am, will be a millionaire. So these are little things that we don't know about, and we don't, you know, people need to get involved. People need to be plugged in. People need to be aware of what's happening in the world, because they're there. It's here for us. And if we sit down and we're always being critical about financing and investing and scared and afraid, you're going to miss these boats, these opportunities. They're going to pass you by. And then you're going to say, I wish. Because I know someone did mention Bitcoin to me years ago. And I was like, I don't know what that is. No thanks. Mm-hmm. Had I just sat down and did a little bit of research, because when Bitcoin was about a penny or so, I wouldn't have nothing to really lose if I had put $100.
Yeah.
I would have been a millionaire right now. So we have to get out of the mindset of being afraid. You gotta pay to play. And it's not major. You don't have to put, you know, like your whole savings in it. Just dollar cost average. Buy a little bit every week. Buy something. Get involved, because you're not going to have an opportunity like this. When this takes off, because it's still in its infancy, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. When it takes off, you're going to be so sad that you didn't get involved in this space.
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, it's being talked about in the streets. It's not like an underground. I think a lot of times, you know, when we're talking about wealth, there's all these underground opportunities that, you know, the rich have been getting rich off of, and we never had any information about it. Mm-hmm. This is actually something that is being communicated. Now, the altcoins, you know, people might not know about, because they only know about Bitcoin. But right. Like you said, it's about doing your due diligence, and it's not even about spending hours and hours upon hours. Like, I'm not a analyst. I don't do finance for a living, but I do know how to use Google.
Right.
And I do know how to ask questions. So like, I'll go to Shay and I'll say, Shay, okay, you know, I'm hearing from my research, I hear that the number two Bitcoin is Ethereum. So I'm, you know, what do you think about Ethereum? Oh, I have Ethereum too. All right, bet. Let me do a little more research. All right, this is stable. I'm hearing from more than one analyst that this is the next Bitcoin. Great. Now it's like, okay, but there's another coin. Oh, I didn't even know about these other coins. And then that's how you start to open up your mind and do some Google research, because the articles are out there. People are speaking about it. And you're looking, and I think it was, maybe it was a couple of weeks ago where I saw that, I think it was like Tesla that bought billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. Why would these institutions buy billions of dollars of Bitcoin and Ethereum, and even, you know, the meme coin, the Dogecoin?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You know, if it wasn't something, right? If it wasn't something. So where there's smoke, there's fire. That's what I always say.
Yes, absolutely. And the key thing is that people need to be knowledgeable about what they're really getting involved in, because there are stuff in the internet, and not all of it is real, and not all of it is going to teach you how to manipulate it. Because there's some altcoins that I'm involved in, and I know there's going to be a time I need to pull out. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to go as far. I know it's just going to give me enough to buy what my major coins are, the ones that I'm going to be hodling, you know, the HODL that I'm going to hold on for dear life. And so you have to know what the use case for, you know, like there's certain keywords and terms, because, you know, you can go on YouTube and everybody's going to, how about when it was that, you know, like you said, Dogecoin, everyone was going for it. And I sat back. I did not touch Dogecoin because I had the knowledge to know that it was a meme coin, and it was there to hype people up. And that's a certain thing too. Sometimes when they start to, when the big guys come in, they're going to manipulate the market. So what happened with Dogecoin was they were manipulating the market, like, go get Dogecoin. And people were running, selling their Bitcoin to go get Doge. And while they were selling their Bitcoin and Bitcoin was going down, the big institutions were coming in and buying it up. They manipulated to go down so they can buy it up at a lower cost. And then silly folks are going to go in there and buy it, you know, the Dogecoin. And then now they're out of their money.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's too late. Yes, you buy it low. And now when when Bitcoin is now rising, they've lost their gains. So you have to know where the real noise is. And then the manipulation of the market, this is just normal. The dollar goes up and the dollar goes down. And people are accepting of that. But if you're in the cryptocurrency and it starts to fall and fluctuate, people get so nervous and sell their stuff. And it's like, no, you got to be... It's a great space to be in, but you also have to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people or people that are knowledgeable about what they're doing, and then so that you're not getting caught on the wrong side of the track.
And that's a really great point, because even in the stock world, which is where I'm mostly living at this point, it's mm-hmm. almost the same concept, right?
Yep.
You know, was it buy the rumor, sell the news, or whatever that they mm-hmm. say? And a lot of people, you know, fall victim to the market manipulation. They have these stocks, they see that they're falling, they sell them because they don't want to lose any more. And while it's going down, people who are like, when there's blood in the streets, it's time to eat.
Yeah,
we're out here, we're buying up. I'm like, wow, this dropped $3. I'm buying the dip because I know it's gonna rise back up. And it's the same thing with cryptocurrency. And it's interesting you brought up, you know, we were talking about the Dogecoin versus Bitcoin situation, because the key person that was manipulating the market, that was telling people to buy Dogecoin, was Elon Musk.
Exactly.
Who was, you know, was the founder of Tesla, or the CEO of Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, Tesla, again, in the news for buying billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, exactly. Exactly. Because he knows that his word is powerful, right? Mm-hmm. So he goes and he says, go buy Dogecoin, and everyone loses their mind. And then goes and buys the Dogecoin as he's in the back buying Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And that's how it works. And so therefore, you got to know, when you're buying this Dogecoin, let's say, what is the purpose? What was the use case? Was it really even a coin? You know what I'm saying? Like, so the things that you got to know, you can't go and just jump on every bandwagon and go on. Like, I stay clear. And I know we was in a group chat of, you know, some women that was like, go buy it. And then I was mm-hmm. like, sitting there like, oh my gosh, no, don't do it. And they'll argue with you, you know, like argue with you that, no, you must. And it's like, okay. So I am not a financial advisor. So I don't, you know, I'm not pushing anybody. You want to go buy it. And some people did make money off of it. Don't get me wrong. They rode the wave and they made some cash. But there's some people who don't know how to get out and don't know. And they thought, oh, I bought it, and then turn around, went to make dinner, and then turn around and lost all their thing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So you have to understand how it works.
Yeah.
Because there's really money involved in these things. Yeah.
And the volatility, you know, there are certain stocks that are very high in, you know, high in volatility, but mm-hmm. cryptocurrency is known for its volatility, which is why you see the fluctuation. So this, mm-hmm. this, analogy of going to the kitchen to make dinner and come back and find yourself at zero is actually true.
Yes.
I've seen it happen with my own eyes. You're up and then you go and you take a shower and everything is lost. So you have
everything's
to, you have to understand the name of the game. You have to understand the coin that you're dealing with. You have to understand the stock that you're dealing with. So
because I have several charts on my computer that I mark up. Mm-hmm. For the coins that I'm in. And I have alarms set up on my charts so that if it goes or if it gets to this point, I know to exit. And now when I say exit, it's not anything else. It's just so I know that I need to move my funds to a stable coin, wait it out, and then buy the wave. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when the market is manipulating like that, I don't get nervous at all. You know what I'm saying? Because I know what I'm looking at and I know what I'm doing. So I don't get nervous. When it starts to dip, I love when it dips.
Me too.
Because I buy the dip. So I sit here and watch people lose their mind and I'm like, yes, more for me.
Yeah. And that's, I guess that's where that psychology comes in, right? That market psychology where it's like,
absolutely,
you can't panic. But I think, again, the people who panic are those who really don't understand the name of the game. They're coming in because they're like, oh my God, there's money in the streets. Let me jump in with no strategy.
Yes. Yes. And you got to know that you, I never put in any, like I will never go when I started, of course, I never went in and put my rent money in there. I put, you know, like the money, quote unquote, that folks would go and buy, you know, Jordan sneakers. Maybe you should invest in that. You know, saying that it's okay, but no one's telling you to throw the whole kitchen sink in it because it, you don't even need to. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't even need to. Like literally the coin that I just, I told you about that was, that's less than, that was less than a penny. It's probably at a penny now, but, when I bought it, it wasn't any, I didn't put major funds in it, maybe $200.
Yeah.
So at $200, if that coin goes up to $9, just $9, I'm a millionaire. So you don't have to do much with it. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, people think that, oh, you know, Bitcoin is $56,000. I don't have $56,000 to invest in a Bitcoin. You don't have to have a whole entire Bitcoin. You could get some Satoshi, which is, you know, a fraction of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And so you just do dollar cost average. You buy $30 a week. You're in it. That $30 will make you money. It'll eventually get you to where it is, because if Bitcoin is only at $56,000 and they're looking to say, they're saying that Bitcoin should be maybe $200,000 by the end of this year.
Well, eh bien.
Why not?
if you put, you know, the $1,400 stimulus in there, I mean, and then you continue to dollar cost average, for the rest of the year, you might not have you might not have a full coin and might not have the $200K, but you might have $20K.
You might have $20K.
You might have $30K.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So, and that's the thing, is like my portfolio, I could tell you maybe I think I've invested, I don't want to give any, you know, numbers because I'm not a financial advisor, but let's just say maybe about not even $1,000 in all, because I was buying them in the beginning when everything was great.
Two cents, a dollar.
Yes, 2 cents. And so it is. So forth, and like when Ethereum was maybe like $100, and Ethereum is like almost
$1,700 today. Yeah,
$1,700 for today. You know what I'm saying? So when you have those things, and now you're looking at, you know, a portfolio that's almost six figures on just not even really putting it in. So that's the way people have to start thinking. And for example, like I have I own a property, and my tenant was, I, you know, was telling him about, you know, investing in cryptocurrency, just because I just want to see everyone win. So if I could shoot it, I'm never one to force anyone, but I'm going to let you know that it exists. Mm-hmm. And now all he does is sends me articles about how Bitcoin is a scam.
Oh, wow.
So my response to him is always just a thumbs up. Okay, thanks. Okay, thanks. Okay, thanks. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like not everybody's prepared for this. Instead of him finding what's great about Bitcoin, and it's like the articles, the worst part is I called him and I asked him, I'm like, why are you sending me this? He's like, it's a scam. What you're doing is a scam. And I said, okay, well, I'll just continue to keep scamming. And then you don't have to get involved, right? So it's not, no one is forcing, I'm not forcing him to do it. I just wanted him to understand. But when I go back and read the article that he does send me, it starts off like that, but somewhere in the middle, like when you really read and dive into it, they're telling you like, this is the new way to go. Mm-hmm. So it's like, he didn't even finish reading the article.
And they never do, though. The people who are negative like that are the ones who they never actually read what it is that they're sending. And, you know, they're getting it from some random ass website that's not even a reputable website to begin with, right?
Absolutely.
But when you have like reputable journalists and reputable news outlets that are talking about this, I mean, and you don't have to be a savant to really see that we're going in the direction of digital currency. Everything is digital now. I mean, in New York, I can get on the train by tapping my phone at the turnstile. I don't need to buy a ticket card if I don't want to.
You see what I'm saying? Yes. So that's the whole new. Remember when debit cards and credit cards came out? I mean, and everyone's, How is the money in the card? How is the money in the card? And no one wanted to believe. And now I don't even remember the last time I've even touched cash. I don't use cash. You know what I'm saying? Everything is on my card. Everything is on my phone. So these are the things that people need to get involved and realize that, okay, wait, Bitcoin or cryptocurrency is new, but that doesn't mean that it's not a real thing. And when you see somebody like Elon Musk is getting involved and those big corporations are getting involved, they're not getting involved for like the heck of it. You know what I'm saying? They're going to get involved because they know that this is the way to go. And there's no turning back. Yeah, there's no turning back.
Yeah. I mean, when you can buy Starbucks with Bitcoin.
Yes.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's not like it's a theory that, oh, we plan to by the year 2025 to start. Like people are currently, I can go to Starbucks right now and purchase with my Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
So that only goes to show that it's something that's already being used. It's already a currency that's being exchanged.
Mm-hmm. We have somebody on our team for the company that I joined to learn how to trade and so on and so forth. He bought his home in Miami with Bitcoin.
You see?
He bought it with Bitcoin. And honestly, the other day I was watching Good Morning America. No, not Good Morning America. Ryan and Kelly. The Ryan and Kelly show or whatever. It was on the TV. I don't usually watch that show, but I don't know what it was that it was on. And Kelly wasn't on, but I think it was George Stephanopoulos' wife was, she was co-hosting that day with him, with Ryan. And he told her, he said, did you get the Bitcoin that I sent you? Something he paid her in Bitcoin. And she was like, yeah, I got it. But I wasn't sure what it was, but it was really cool. And I'm sitting here watching it, and I'm like, what? You see?
Yeah.
They're paying each other with Bitcoin.
So now some people might be like, wow, you know what? I want to learn more. I want to figure this out because I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of living paycheck to paycheck. You know, I'm not looking for the quick come up, but this sounds real, and I want to get in before it's too late, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can people get started with Bitcoin? Because I know you mentioned earlier you don't need a lot of money to jump into this. So how can somebody get started in the cryptocurrency world?
There's many ways. I think now that it's gotten really popular, there's I'm sure on YouTube, there's ways for you to teach you how to do it. The only skepticism that I have with that is that you don't know who these people are to trust to get you directed in the right places, right? Mm-hmm. Because right, one of the things is that you have to be prepared to know that you're going to keep it safe. You know what I'm saying? Because there's scammers out there. There's going to be, you know, people that are going to, so you have to know certain places. So you have to find someone you trust that's going to direct you and lead you. Like I joined a company that taught me, and I'm telling you, it has been a godsend. So I've learned, and so I share with my family. Like what I learned, I share with my family. I can't share it with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I can't, you know, just tap into the world. If I could, I would. But you could also join a company like the one I joined. You know, IAM was great to me. And I know a lot of people don't want to spend the money for education. But sometimes you have to do. You got to pay to play. Yeah. And so you have to invest in yourself. And it's not, I pay a subscription every month. But it's so worth it to me because the amount of money that I got back in return of this education and this knowledge not only benefited me, but it's benefited my family and it's generational wealth. So I don't have a problem paying the subscription. A lot of people are like, I'm not paying $200 a month, but if you have to go, you know, if you want to get into this field and you want to learn something, you got to pay to play. You're not going to go to medical school and not give them a dollar. You have to pay.
Yeah.
You want to be a doctor? You got to pay.
And I think the thing is that it's not a forever thing, right?
Like
You can get in there, learn what you got to get. And then when you feel confident or you feel like, okay, I know how to do what I got to do now.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
There's no total commitment to anything. You come in, you pay, you join. And if you learn it in 30 days, guess what? You learned it in 30 days and you can get out. There's no commitment. There's no one's holding you down. You're not, you know, tied down to a 2-year contract or any of that sort. You come in, you learn however long. I know someone who came in and he spent 90 days with no TV, no nothing. And this was with the trading part. Mm-hmm. He spent 90 days learning it and then he's a millionaire now. He quit his job. He was a janitor. He quit his job, and he's now he just trades. And he focused on 90 days, no TV, no going out, no hanging out with the family, whatever barbecue they were doing. He didn't attend. He said, I'm committed to the 90 days, and that's what it was. So he committed to, you know, just investing in that. He didn't spend a lot of money to make him make a lot of money. So you got to make, people got to make the decision on what's worth it to them and how, you know, how much is it worth? So.
Okay. Now you said the organization was called I Am?
Yes.
I Am?
I Am Academy. Yes.
Okay.
International Marketing Academy. So it's I Am Academy. You have to know someone, and then, like, say, for example, for me, and I would send the person the link, and then they would join, and then, you know, we walk you. You're not left alone. We have so many educators, because we not only just do cryptocurrency. We do, you know, like I said, Forex. We do high frequency. We do binary options, stocks. We do e-commerce. So they teach you all of that. So you have access to the educators. There's over 100 of them. And then you also have the recordings, just in case you're working and you don't have time to join a live class. You can also listen to the recordings. The recordings are there. And say if someone joined under me, they would I would walk them through getting their stuff settled, getting their MetaTrader 4 account, and so on and so forth, and everything that they need. But they would have access to the educators who are, you know, knowledgeable in this space, and then walk them through everything.
Okay. Now, what if somebody is like, you know what, I kind of have, you know, a little sense of what this is. I've identified maybe a couple of YouTubers that I really, you know, through my research, because, you know, I'm a researcher, and I found a couple of YouTubers that I could possibly follow, but I have an understanding of, like, at least what my objective is. I want to just buy some coins. I'm not into the trade. I just want to buy some coins and let it sit, right? Like a Bitcoin or an Ethereum. So for people like that, what type, are there any apps that they can get on their own that can help them purchase, you know, these Bitcoins and altcoins and just cryptocurrency in general?
Yes, there are. I mean, there's no apps in particular that's going to guide them through, but there are places, like I said, you can go on YouTube and take your chance. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know what else to say to people about that. You know what I'm saying? Because I know that there was a few people that joined, I mean, like, didn't join the company, or they, you know, started, and they have a little knowledge, but their knowledge, like, people were going and buying Ethereum off of Robinhood. And it's like, you know, you do not own it there, right?
Yeah.
You do not have the private keys. So not having the private keys to any of your cryptocurrency, you do not own it. So Robinhood could come and take your Ethereum when you thought you were sitting it there, and it doesn't belong to you. So you have to know these things. Mm-hmm. You have to know where to go store them. You have to know where to keep them safe. You have to know that where these things. So you have to find someone who's going to guide you. There might be people on YouTube. I don't know. There's a few people on YouTube that I do follow that I know and trust, because I have the knowledge that, like, okay, they're giving out good information. I know that this is said to be true because I've done it. So I get that, but it's a chance. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could go on YouTube and learn how to become a surgeon. I'm sure there's a doctor in there that's going to teach you how to do surgery. But do you really trust it?
Yeah, no, I understand. Because there are apps that, you know, people use, like I said, Robinhood, there's Coinbase, there's Binance,
Webull.
Webull. And then I know there are people who have even, I think, purchased on Cash App.
Yes. Oh, no, I purchased on Cash App. Mm-hmm. Whenever I do my exchanges, I'll do it on Cash App, but then I send it to a secured exchange. I've used on Coinbase, but I've also put it in a certain, you know, in a secret or a secured exchange. So there's places that it's available. Yes, you can get it, but you got to know, okay, once I bought it off of Cash App, are you going to really leave your Bitcoin on Cash App?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know where you're going to put it to keep your Bitcoin safe.
Okay.
So there are people that has purchased Bitcoin years ago and now doesn't have access to it because they don't know where they put it. And where they put it is no longer there. That exchange where they put it is no longer there.
So that could be where the quote unquote scamming rumors could be coming from, right? The
right.
People who did not have the full information as to, okay, I bought it, but it's not just about buying it. You have to store it in a wallet.
Yes, you have to store it in a wallet. You have to store it in a secure wallet. Mm-hmm. You have to know how to move it. You have to know how to manipulate it. You know what I'm saying? Not manipulate it, but in a way, like, if it's dropping and you are scared and you can't ride the wave, and if it drops to $40,000, did you know to move it out when you watched the market moved and where to put it? You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. even when somewhere the government is going to come, once you start Bitcoin, say you have Bitcoin and you want to go get cash for it, like cash it out. Mm-hmm. Once you throw it in cash, now you're dealing with the government. You're paying taxes on it. So people get, oh, that's where the money goes. And there goes the scam. They took my money. No, you have to know that you may not want to put it in cash right now. Mm-hmm. You may want to put it in a stable coin. And how do you do that? So there's little tips and nuggets that you need to know right now, and you know, to know how, what to deal with your cryptocurrency, and not just buy it on Cash App or buy it on a Robinhood and just leave it there. Because if Robinhood decides to go, so goes your Bitcoin, and you can't say anything about it. And it's not a scam. You're supposed to know what to do with your Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. That's the same way someone gives you cash and you put it out, and then you know, in the car, and someone comes and take it. The cash is not a scam. You didn't know where to put the cash.
Yeah. And, you know, this is very insightful, because this, again, goes to show why the education and the investment in the education is important. Because I think, and I don't want to say just as Black people, but people in general, just they never want to pay for anything, right? They never want to invest for themselves. It's not a problem to buy a $3,000 Louis bag. But when it comes to investing $500, $1,000 even, into a program or into a system that can ensure their financial security and you know, ensure them generational wealth, it's like, oh, why I gotta pay somebody to show me how to do X, Y, and Z? Why I gotta pay? But they don't understand that, because everything that you're saying now with the breakdown of the crypto, I can totally see why people are like, oh, this is a scam. It's not a scam. It's just that you actually jumped into something without really understanding. Because if it was that easy, the crackhead on the street would have cryptocurrency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it can be easy, but it's also, it's work. There's work involved in it. You know what I'm saying? You can't just put it, buy it, and sit it and forget it. You can, some of them, you might be lucky, but you also have to know when to get out or when to move it, have it sit for a while, and then go back and repurchase. Because like when it's the dip, when it was going down, and I go ahead and I put in a stable coin, it sits. When it rolled the wave down, I went back and repurchased. I ended up buying more than when I left it at the top. So knowing that, it's like, yeah, okay, you keep calling it a scam. As you're sitting here calling it a scam, I'm making it move and I'm making it work. So those, that little knowledge takes, goes a long way, and people need to understand. Like you said, we as Black people, we are scared of anything and everything. They tell us, you know, and anything that's gonna, and that's why they know they could just, they could scream it from the rooftops. Some of, most of us are not gonna get involved until it's too late.
Yeah.
Until it's absolutely too late.
And we have to change that mentality, because I think, especially when, you know, the pandemic started, a lot of people started to become more woke when it came to the stock market and again, cryptocurrency. I mean, we have a lot more people investing in these ventures than before. And it's amazing. However, if you're not doing it in the right way, you are certainly going to lose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that goes with anything. Even when I put my money in my 401k, if I don't pay attention, I turn around and it's like, okay, the money didn't do anything, or I lost the money in the 401k. You could absolutely invest in the 401k. And when it's time for retirement and the market is manipulated in a way that you it's going down, or it's in a bearish market, you can get to retirement and have no money.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing that people assume, oh, I have 401k, I'm good when I retire. Maybe not. So you have to get involved. You have to pay attention. You have to check your 401k at least once a month. See, what is it doing? Is the stocks that I'm involved in, is it working for me? Do I need to change it up? So certain things, you can't just leave it there and expect someone else to make you rich or make you wealthy. You have to get involved, and you have to do the research. You have to, you know, involve, put you surround yourself with people that I only like now speak to people that are rich. Like, I want to be around them.
But it's true. It's true. Yes. You have to surround yourself with people who you aspire to be like. It is not to say that you can't talk to somebody else who are on your same level who might be also trying to elevate, but you can't speak to anybody who's not trying to elevate.
Right, right. But I don't take financial advice from my broke friends. I'm sorry. I cannot. You know what I'm saying? And it's I can take other advices from them. There's things that they can say, but I just no longer, because it didn't work for me before when I was doing that. Mm-hmm. So I have to try something new. So this is what it is. Yeah, it is. I'm not going to take advice on how to become a surgeon from a dentist. You know, like, you know, to be a heart surgeon from a dentist, I got to go to the heart surgeon.
Yeah.
No, so that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that my broke friends ain't worth anything. They absolutely are. But in this space of being wealthy, I have to go with the wealthy people and surround myself around there and take a chance. And like I said, you're not investing your whole, even if you wanted to take half of your stimmy and invest it and keep the other half to play around with. That's perfectly fine. But get involved. Do something. $30, $100, get involved, and you'll watch your wallet go up. Another coin that I bought, I don't even remember. I think I bought it accidentally, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I paid $30 for it. And now that coin is $1,000.
Wow. Wow.
And I did nothing. And I happened to, and this was yesterday, I happened to look into my wallet. And I was like, what is this? And I looked and I was like, oh. So I quickly took that, you know what I'm saying? And I went and marked up my chart, realized, okay, it still got room to run. So I'm going to leave it there, let it keep doing what it's doing. And then when I realized, okay, it's ran out of, you know, gas, I'll move it. But a $30 investment has gotten me $1,000 of doing nothing. Mm. So I don't know.
It's definitely a lot to digest, but for those people who are like, you know what, I'm tired of living this broke life. You know, I want to enjoy my life. Like I want to enjoy my life. If there's anything that this pandemic taught us is that we cannot waste time doing things we don't love. We can't waste time doing things that make us unhappy. And if for some of us that might mean quitting our jobs and finding something that's, you know, more fulfilling, but you need money to do that.
Yes.
You need money you to
gotta
do
pay.
That.
You got to pay to play.
I like that. I like that. So for those of you who are tuning in again, you know, there research is your friend. I know a lot of us like to ear hustle. We want to just follow the YouTuber. But it's nothing wrong with following the YouTuber, because I follow YouTubers as well.
Yes.
Me too. I also go and I follow up though. I follow up, I have my pen and paper, and I research what they said. And I look to see, you know, and, you know, at Investopedia, I look at Market Watch, I look at Yahoo Finance, I look at some of these, you know, CNBC to see, you know, are they even talking about this?
Right.
What are they saying? Just so that I can make sure that, okay, I'm in a safe space with what I'm doing.
Yes. Is it lining up with the research that you've done? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you can't sit on the sidelines again and have someone else, trust someone else to make you wealthy. So you do have to do your research. And the YouTubers, I follow some too. But because I've done my research, I can see that what I've researched aligns with what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So then I can trust what's happening. And then when I try or test it, you know, test it out, like I said, take a little dip, put a little toe in the water, and say, okay, $30 here. I'll just put $30. It doesn't have to. And I think that's where people get afraid. They think they have to invest a lot. Mm-hmm. No, you've just put a little bit. You get involved. Watch how it works. And honestly, it becomes very addictive. You know what I'm saying? You just, when you're watching your money grow, it's exhilarating. Mm-hmm. And so you get more involved and you do more research and you get more excited about it. And then you turn around and they always say that millionaires are created during a recession or during these time periods. So this is a time period for you to get in and get involved and find out
while prices where you are low.
Yeah, where the prices are low, when you're getting projects at less than a penny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's crazy because I'm one of those people who like to kick myself in my butt. They're like, oh man, I didn't know that. But I was looking, like, Tesla will forever be my my sour point.
Right.
When you know, the pandemic first hit and it was at like $90 a share.
Right.
Tesla is now at like, right now it's a little low, but it's at $600 and something per share.
Do you see
share.
What I'm saying? Yes.
If you had 5 shares of Tesla at $90, you would have now 5 shares of Tesla at $600 something.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing with the crypto, you know. It's not to say that in a year that you're going to like quadruple, you know, your money, but it's something that's going to grow over time.
And right.
I plan on living for a very long time.
Right, exactly. And it's the generational wealth. Like, even for me, I have my crypto here and, you know, I hope to enjoy the benefits of getting involved. But if not, I've done something for my grandchildren or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's enough in there that's going to take them to the moon. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things that you just got to not be afraid. Try it out. And like I said, you're not throwing out the whole kitchen sink in it, but you could see that this is the opportunity to get in. And so like NBA players, they want to get paid in Bitcoin. And you know what I'm saying? Cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
What was that NBA player that signed and he said, pay me in crypto?
I did hear that. And a lot of these sporting buildings or whatever, the sporting companies are incorporating Bitcoin in terms of purchasing tickets.
Right.
Like that too.
Right. And then there's this thing called NFT.
Yeah. Yeah. The non-fungible.
Yes. What's the T? So the token that I told you about is involved in NFT. Mm-hmm. And NFT now is the whole all the rage. I think his name.
Jim Jones is talking about it.
Who?
Jim Jones. Jim Jones.
Okay. Yes. And then the Shark Tank guy, FUBU. Mm-hmm. Former FUBU.
His name, yeah. But Shark Tank guys. The FUBU guys from Shark Tank.
Yes. Exactly. He was talking about it the other day. So like the coin that I was talking about that I bought for less than a penny is involved in NFT. Mm-hmm. So these are things that, you know, that's why it's less than a penny now. And eventually when the buzz starts to kick in and it's going to launch on an exchange in 3 days. So when that launches on exchange in 3 days, I don't know how much it's going to be, but even if it's at a dollar, you know what I'm saying? Even if it's at $10,
guys,
if it's at $9, it's a wrap.
NFT, non-fungible token. Google it. Do your research. Like I said, my man Jim Jones, who I will always love forever, and even though he's questionable at times.
No, I love me some.
I love me some Jim Jones. Oh, I love Jim Jones. Anyways, Jim Jones, if you're listening. No.
Yes.
But he was talking about it. When you have the rappers talking about, you know, cryptocurrency and NFTs.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're onto something. When there's smoke, there's fire.
Yes, yes. And we have several NBA players that are part of the organization that I joined. They're involved. What's his name? Mayweather is part of our company. You know, so people are getting involved. People are listening. People are paying attention, and people are willing to learn, and they're willing to get involved, and they're willing to do the work, and you're going to turn around, and it's going to be, would love to share this information, because especially for our Black folks, because I want us to come out of this pandemic like wealthy.
Listen, dripping.
Dripping. That is the excitement for me. And it's so, you know, I know like during the pandemic in the beginning, there was the susus was going around and so on and so forth. There's nothing wrong with the susus. The susus work. It's the mindset that wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So it failed. So we have to get the mindset right and know that it does work. People get so excited. Like if you join a susu and you make like $10,000, they got so excited and went and spent it. And then that was it. It was gone. Like, no, you should have keep coming back and keep piling that money and then take that money, invest it in other things.
Drop it in a Bitcoin.
So we get excited with one little $1,400 stimmy and not know like, no, make that stimmy grow.
Listen, that stimmy, I was following one YouTuber, I think it's Stock Up with Larry Jones, and he was like, he turned his stimmy and his wife's stimmy into $8,000 that then became like $25,000 in a matter of 3 months. And when people hear things like that, it's not like I watch people do it, right? I have not done it yet. So, you know, I'm not there yet. Nobody come looking for money over here.
Right.
But I've seen people do it. And I'm like, I need to like get serious, which is why I started getting much more serious with,
with the stock. I've done it.
The money is there.
Yes, the money's there. And I've done it. And I'm telling you, I get so excited about it. It puts a fire in my belly. I know it works. I know it exists. I know that it's going to take me places that I didn't expect to be. You know, you work hard and you go to work every day and you get that check and you save. And saving is no longer the new fad. Investing is the new fad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I made more money investing in cryptocurrency than I ever did saving in my account. Like I had money in my savings account and I made for a whole year, I made 18 cents on it.
Mercy.
18 cents.
Mercy, Lord.
Thank you very much. So I took that money out of my savings and I invested it and I made buku money. So I no longer save. Now, don't get me wrong. I have property in CERN and there's emergencies that right now, not everybody's taking cryptocurrency. So I need to be able to fix the car with some fiat. So I do have some money right there. But it's not my long-term saving where I think about retirement. Not at all.
Oh, man. So much information. You know, I'm getting excited because I'm about to call you once I get off this thing.
Yes.
I'm excited because when you grow up poor, as a lot of us have, you know,
yes.
People hate hearing these stories, but I'm like, you got to acknowledge, you know, your roots and where you came from because that should be the motivation for moving forward. And
absolutely.
I grew up very poor. Mm-hmm. Poorer than most people think, right? And
me
I have
too.
To sit back and I'm like, damn, that government cheese.
Yeah. Listen,
I enjoyed it though. I'm not gonna lie.
We talked about the government cheese yesterday with my nieces because
they
didn't know what government cheese, and we had to explain it to them and how much food we made with different recipes that government cheese made. Okay,
and the oily peanut butter.
Yes, the spaghetti, the cheesiest spaghetti you ever have is with that government cheese.
Listen.
So yes.
Yeah, you know, and so now it's like, man, like now I'm at, you know, this age and I just like my sign, you know, I'm a Sagittarian. We like to just be about our own. We want to be our own bosses. We want to live our lives. Like we want to walk to the beat of our own drum. But you can't do that when you're working for the man.
No.
You can't do that when you're doing a lot of things. So it's like freedom is synonymous with being a Sagittarian.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's what we're known for. Flighty people.
Yep. And you know what? I noticed that when I look back at my life and we came from some sketchy, you know, backgrounds, like, you know, I tell my kids sometimes, like, I didn't even know what the heck I was going to eat the next day. You know what I'm saying? So when you come from that, like for me, everything that I've been successful at was when I took a risk.
Mm.
And the reason why I'm where I am today is because I took a lot of risk in a lot of things. And I did what was not normal, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the traditional route that everyone was taking. So when I look back and I'm like, yo, you're a risk taker. And that risk always pans out because I'm not blindly taking risks. I research and I look into things. So I don't walk into a situation where I'm not aware or haven't done the research.
Mm-hmm.
But I do things outside of the box. Because eventually it becomes the box.
You know what? I love that. That needs to be on a t-shirt. I mean, I was reading a book not too long ago called The Originals. I forgot the name of the author. But it talked about, you know, those who are outliers are the ones who end up becoming the millionaires. Because they like what's his name? The Zuckerbergs.
Mm-hmm.
And those, Parker, Warby Parker.
Yes.
Some of them dropped out of Yale and started this eyeglass company where people were like, nobody's going to buy glasses off the internet. Like they're going to have to go in the store and try them on and get prescription. And they're sitting on, you know, I don't know, billions of dollars right now.
Exactly. So. You got to get outside of yourself. You got to start thinking outside of that box because that box, I'm telling you, you'll be surprised. And that's where I say, and like I said, it's not, you don't have to do too much. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying sell a house, sleep on the streets and then invest. You could do dollar cost average. You could get involved, get your feet wet and then do the work. And it's not that much because the work is really there. Like, you know, it's right there given to you. You just got to be plugged in. Get off of Lifetime. Get off of the own network.
and go research some stuff that's going to pay you, because Lifetime is making their money. Own yep. is making her money. So you don't have to sit there and watch wealthy people keep getting rich and you sitting on the sidelines just waiting for a little handout. No, yep. That's what the American dream is. Go get it.
Yep. Get out and get it.
Go figure out it out. It. Yes. Yep.
I mean, the hustlers of long ago, you know, they had the mentality. And that's why a lot of them are rich. Like when you go yes. back and you look at these rappers, you look at these street hustlers or whatever, they're in this cryptocurrency now. Mm-hmm. Like they're making money the legal way now because it's always that hustler spirit.
Yes. Well, that's what Bitcoin is what saved 50 Cent. 50 Cent was broke. Mm. He bought Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is what saved 50 Cent. Okay. And no one, and I'm sure if he said it, people would have thought he was crazy, because when he bought it, it wasn't anything really. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Didn't cost much. People didn't know about it. And that's the thing too. We need to stop being wanting everything to be popular. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody wants, like, just now, even with the cryptocurrency, everybody, Bitcoin. You can leave Bitcoin alone for a little bit. Go get some altcoins. Mm-hmm. Those are working too. Go get you some Ethereum. It's okay. You can't get a full Bitcoin. Go get a full Ethereum. You got the Stimmy. It's $1,700 Ethereum. Go put the whole Stimmy in that one. Because at the end of the year, if Ethereum gets to $20,000, you make $20,000 off your $1,400 Stimmy.
Listen.
You know what I'm saying? So stop. Don't go in that Jordan line and don't go, you know, buying your PlayStations or so on, or Hermes belts and
or
stuff.
Or the Louis bag.
Do that, and at the end of the year, you could go buy you a few of those.
Not even Louis. Whatever's higher than Louis. I can go get some I can't even pronounce.
Exactly. And just buy a little bit more every week or every 2 weeks when you get paid. Just put a little bit more.
And that's one thing that I think that has helped me out is that I every 2 weeks I have a set where it's like, okay, it automatically every 2 weeks pulls out whether it be $20 or $100 from my account.
Yeah.
And then it puts it into a particular coin. And that's the best thing that sometimes you can do, because 6 months will go by and if you did $100, you just put $600.
Yeah.
Without
you
even
didn't
knowing
realize. It. Yep. You didn't realize. And then that $600, then you put $600 and it turned into $1,200 or it turned into $2,000 and it's so on and so forth. The $5,000. Ethereum has the potential of going to $5,000 before the summer is over, right? So imagine you bought one at $1,400 and it's now $5,000.
Yeah, in a matter of months.
And that's how we have to start thinking about it.
Yeah, we have to stop thinking about the now and really think about the future. And 3 months from now is not unbearable.
No, it's not. I'm telling you, when I started investing and I did the, you know, less than $1,000 in investment, and I'm looking at my portfolio now and I'm like, wow. And I remember then too, I was sitting there nervous about it too. Don't get me wrong. It's difficult and nerve-wracking when you're joining something new that's unknown to you, right? Mm-hmm. I sat here, I remember before I clicked the button, like, you know, to purchase, I sat here scratching like a crackhead. You know what I'm saying? Like, what am I doing? And I prayed on it and I said, okay, God, whatever your plans are for me, is gonna, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I thought about how much money I could go into Walmart and spend that money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just on, you know, some ice cream or
Chick-fil-A,
you know,
Chick-fil-A
alone. You know what I'm saying? Zaxby's or something. So I said, no, I'm gonna invest in myself. I'm gonna take the chance and I'm gonna figure out and see what this is all about. That was the best decision I ever made.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best decision I've ever made, and I have not looked back since. Mm.
Powerful.
It's exciting. It's exciting times because you know what's so exciting about it is we're just getting started. Mm-hmm. It's not too late. This is new. Believe it or not, as much as the buzz is going around, this is still new. Which you still have a chance to get in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not be scared, people.
Listen, you heard her. You heard her, real life, regular, everyday person who's investing. You know, it's not like Elon Musk who's on here talking about do this, do that. Like I said, I've seen it with my own eyes. People, you know, building their wealth. And that's what's inspired me to be like, you know what, Rita, like, you're intelligent enough to like not sit back and let this train leave you. So I encourage all of you guys, again, you know, none of us, I am definitely not a financial advisor. I could barely do 1 + 1. So trust me, I'm not. I'm just a regular everyday person that is trying to do better for myself, like, and for my son, and
yes,
whatever grandchildren, and for my community, right?
Because, yes, like, absolutely.
We need to make moves. And it's like, we have the power to do so. Like, watching hours and hours of Netflix and Love and Hip Hop is not going to get you the bag. So
nope.
We need to do what we need to do as a people. If we really want change, we know that money is what makes the world go round, and money is what where the influence lies. So let's get that money so we can be influential too.
Yep. And let's make this a hot coin summer, okay?
Exactly. Not a hot girl, not a hot man, but a hot coin summer.
A hot coin summer, yes. Okay? Yes.
I actually, this is my challenge to everyone, because I'm guilty of the Uber. I love me some Uber. I'm always in an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Especially those of you guys who live in the city, because it might be harder for those people who live, you know, out in
the islands
or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this summer, especially if it's a good weather summer, like, walk, take the bus. If you're afraid of the Rona, then walk, do something, and see, like, that money that you're saving from the Uber every week, take that money and invest it into either mm-hmm. a cryptocurrency or a stock, and watch it go. Like, one month, I think of not taking Uber. 1 month of not taking Uber, that money, put that in a stock, put that in a cryptocurrency, and you will thank me. I will accept Cash App.
Yes.
For the tip, I will accept.
It is true. And I know a lot of people got burned, like I said, with the susu. I got burned in the susu.
Girl.
Absolutely got burned in it, right? But I made that money, the money that I invested in the susu, I made that back 3 times over.
Well,
in the cryptocurrency world. So I don't even care. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do care. I still want my money, right? But
it doesn't sting as much
because it's like, okay, I made my money back. And I don't have to rely on anyone to give it to me. Because like I said, the susu works if the mindset and, you know, we all agreed in the investing in ourselves kind mm-hmm. of a thing. So when that didn't work because the mindset is not there, and it's also the same thing with, you know, investing in anything, in stocks, in cryptocurrency, in anything, you have to have that mindset and not be afraid. Because even like what I said, when the market is dipping and going up, I don't get scared or nervous or anything of the sort. I just relax. I know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have your mindset on anything in life in general, your mindset has to be strong. And be prepared for whatever comes at you. So if you don't do that, you get kicked around.
Yep. Words to live by.
We can go on and on about this all day for a week.
We can, but I just hope that the people listening, again, at least, you know, the nuggets that you're drawing from this is, one, we got to take risks. You know, if you're not part of the game, then you're never going to win.
Right.
And I think the second big thing from this is that you don't have to throw in your rent. In fact, do not put in your rent money
for these
things. You could start with $50. You could start with $20. You know, you can start with anything, really.
Right.
And just be consistent and adding to it. And then seek knowledge. All of us got at least one friend who's up in this, you know, cryptocurrency world.
Absolutely.
At least one. Learn how to do it properly.
And know that taking a risk doesn't have to be risky. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be scary, because you can take a risk and join, right? Join this cryptocurrency world and then do your research where it's not so risky. Because
mm-hmm.
you're going in there thinking, like as we said, if you're not putting in your whole rent in there and you're putting in $50 or whatever the sort is, you're not going to cringe and hope, you know what I'm saying, that it's going to, because you have to think about it. It's not, right now, at the moment, when you're first starting, it's not to pay the bills. It's to invest in your wealth. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking in that mindset, you put $50 and you're knowing that $50 is going to grow for you, it's not as risky for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you did take a risk in joining something you're not sure about or you don't know nothing about. So that's when I'm saying taking a risk doesn't have to be risky. It's something you don't know about, but it's not going to... Listen, the cryptocurrency market would have to die for you to lose that money. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
Just join. Just get involved. Put a little bit in there. Yeah. Take a chance on yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. Shay, you know, knowledge upon knowledge, gems upon gems that were dropped today. I could only hope that the people, you know, receive the information and do their own due diligence because, again,
yes. I'm
not financial advisors. I did not get a degree for this.
Neither did I.
So, you know, we're just two regular people just trying to share the knowledge. And I'm still learning, so I don't even know all of it. I don't even know everything, but I know that it's something I want to get into. And
yes.
I just want people to do the research for themselves and just see how they can change their lives. We don't have mm-hmm. to live like how our parents lived. We don't have to have our kids, you know, struggling eating ramen noodles and living, you know, in conditions that we don't want to live in. Like, we
right.
have the power to change our futures. We could change the narrative, mm-hmm. but we got to take that risk. We got to take that step.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
All right, Shay. Well, thank you so much for being such
You're
an awesome
welcome.
Guest. A wealth of information today.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I was able to come here and talk to the people.
Of course. Of course. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
Can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.